So we're going to be today in 2 Peter, if you want to turn there, chapter 2. Not a typical Sunday morning message, but something that we need sometimes. We need to be reminded that the devil is the god of this world, that he is doing his best to lead people astray, even Christians. And this is a warning. It's actually a promise here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, that there will be false teachers among us. Notice verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." So the Bible teaches there shall be false teachers. Let's pray. How we love you, Lord, and how we praise you for the opportunity and the freedom to assemble in the name of Jesus Christ around your preserved word. And we pray now the Holy Spirit would take it and apply it to every heart in this room, those online. Lord, that your will would be done through this powerful sword of the Spirit. Lord, that we would be listening, learning, applying, being convicted, repenting, being comforted, whatever the need might be, may the Holy Spirit be in control. May you be glorified and guide us in your truth. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So he didn't say there might be. He said there shall be. And the devil has not quit or given up. As a matter of fact, he's gotten much more active in these last days because he knows that he's only got a short time left, doesn't he? And so he's really pouring it on when it comes to this matter of false teachers. But even Paul warned the church at Ephesus, if you go to Acts chapter 20, verse 29, of the same thing. Remember, Paul spent a little over 2 years at Ephesus, and when he left, he says, "I've not shunned declaring to you that all the counsel of God," there in Acts chapter 20, verse 27. So Paul obviously did a lot of preaching in that 27 months to be able to say, "I've given you all the counsel of God." But as he left them, here in Acts chapter 20, look at verse 29. He says, "I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also," look at this next phrase, "of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Told them right up front, even some of your own people are going to arise and start teaching perverse things. And draw away what? Disciples. That's always the goal of a false teacher, is to get disciples, followers, to their false beliefs. And so he even told Ephesus, this is what's going to happen. Jesus, if you go to Matthew chapter 7, way back early in his ministry, Matthew 7:15, also warned us that this was going to happen. Of course, Peter tells us it's going to happen in the churches. But Jesus here in Matthew 7, look what he says. "Beware," verse 15, "of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Sheep's clothing. It means they're going to always have a smile. They're going to always seem like a spiritual Christian, not an unspiritual Christian. They're going to come across as a spiritual Christian. But inwardly, they're out to devour sheep. It's scary, isn't it? This is a promise. This is going to happen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11:14, God tells us in advance that Satan's followers are going to come across as the good guys. Notice 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, "And no marvel, For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They're going to be appearing as ministers of righteousness, not unrighteousness. This is what the devil does. Even during a tribulation period, the devil is not going to say to the world, "Worship me, I'm the devil." He's going to say, "Worship me, I am God." And the world's going to believe him and worship him as God, which is what he's wanted all along since his fall. God allows this, and we need to understand this. Go to Deuteronomy 13, even way back. When he was warning Israel after they went into the promised land, he even warned Israel that it was going to happen. He's telling us in Peter it's going to happen, and we're going to look in a moment why. But here's one of the reasons why, verse 1 of chapter 13, Deuteronomy, and that is God is proving us. He's proving us. Look at it, Deuteronomy 13, 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whether he spake unto thee, saying, "Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them," thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Look at this next phrase. For the Lord your God proveth you. To know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. In other words, I'm going to allow this to happen, God said, to prove you. And Peter says, there shall be false teachers among you. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. And we'll begin to see that it's not only to prove us, but it's also to reveal true believers. It wouldn't break my heart if we turned off the heaters. Would that be okay with everybody? Thank you, Roy. Could you do that for us, brother? So we're not all sweating to death. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 11, 19. For there must, look at that word must, there must also be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. He said, it's going to happen. And another reason why he allows it is to reveal the true believers. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. And so we need to be careful not to be surprised when a false teacher comes along and says, as we'll look at later in the passage, "I know something that you don't. I'm smarter than all of you. I've got something figured out. None of you know this or believe it or understand it because you're all a bunch of dummies." That's when you know whatever they're going to say next is wrong. They're a false teacher. One, you know, it takes a lot of pride to say something like that, but there are Christians who are like that, who believe they've got it all figured out and they believe things that nobody else understands. That makes them the smartest person in the room, right? Not. Anyway, 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. John even said it's going to happen. That false teachers are going to arise. That's why I look at Jude chapter 1. We're told very clearly that one of our responsibilities as God's children is to stand for the truth. We're not to be passive in this regard. Notice Jude 1 verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That word contend means to fight. And it's written to you and me. We're to fight for the truth. Because there's going to be people that are going to attack the truth. And God now is going to point out how they're going to do it. Let's go back to our passage, 2 Peter 2. So that was the introduction. Chapter 2, verse 1. Number one, they're sneaky. Look at it. They will privily. When false teachers arise among you, they're not going to stand up in front of the whole crowd and say, "Hey, folks, I got something new. Let me teach you something new. You're all wrong." No, that's not how they work. They're sneaky. They do it one person at a time. They start, you know, just like we talked about the devil being a lion. The lion doesn't dive into the middle of the pack, does he? He goes after the strays out on the sides of the pack, the ones that are struggling to keep up. He goes after the young Christians, the weak Christians, which is exactly what these false teachers do, and they do it privily. They do it sneakily. They do it quietly, one person at a time. You know, Jesus said, they come in sheep's clothing. They're going to come across as a nice guy. One thing that you folks don't get to see is how often I have to ask people to quit coming. When this happens, probably every year or two, someone comes along, they've got it all figured out. I work with them and try to help them to see the truth of God's word, but they've got it all figured out, thanks to YouTube usually. And what do? As long as they disagree with us, but they're willing to keep quiet, I have no problem with that. But as soon as they start talking to people about their little false teachings one-on-one, that's when I say, listen, this isn't the place for you. We don't need this. We disagree on whatever the doctrine might be, and there's been a whole slew of them. There's been annihilationism, people believing that hell isn't eternal. There's been people come along and say that the church is Israel and God's done with Israel. People come along and say, no, the rapture's, the church is going to go into the tribulation period. People come along and say, people that are gay can't be saved. They call it the reprobate doctrine. The list just goes on and on and on. And I just quietly ask them to leave, and they do. Thank God for that. But it's just going to keep happening. And God says it's just going to keep getting worse. They're sneaky. Number two, verse one, they bring in damnable heresies. It's always a little thing that they've gotten a hold of, and they're not going to let go of it. They're like a dog with a bone. Our church in Arizona, I lost one of my core families to YouTube. And it was all over whether or not a church should register with the government as a nonprofit organization. That was the issue. It's like, big deal. But he watched enough YouTube videos and said, that's it. It's sin for a church to register with the government because that gives government complete control of your church, and it's just wrong. It's sinful. Well, but the government tells us that we're supposed to do, and the Bible says we're supposed to obey the government. So how do you work that out? Anyway, he was my song leader. His wife was one of my Sunday school teachers. Lost him over that little minor thing. And it happens so often. YouTube, it's good and bad. Amen. But Bible says this is going to happen. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, that they're going to bring in these new quote unquote doctrines. My friend, if it's new, it's wrong. Okay? There's nothing new. We've had the New Testament for 2,000 years. We've had it in English for almost 400 years, or over 400 years. There's nothing new. And if someone comes along and says there's something new, just say, stop right there because I don't want to hear it. Amen? Because there's nothing new. 1 Timothy 4:1, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What's the source? It's Satan. These are called doctrines of devils. Look at Hebrews 13:9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. There's a warning. The writer of Hebrews, last chapter, be careful. Don't be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. That's why I taught that series last year on the You know, the distinctives. And I'm not talking the standard distinctives, but the distinctives. We got to watch out for these things that are just creeping in all the time. So they're private or they're sneaky, verse 1. They bring in damnable heresies, verse 1. Verse 1, they deny the Lord that bought them. Some of them aren't even saved. Some of them are saved, but they've departed from the faith, as we read in 1 Timothy 4:1. But here's the sad bit, verse 2. 2 Peter 2:2. Many shall follow. Isn't that sad? You know, how often do we sit back and just shake our heads and say, how? How does the Mormon church keep growing? How could people believe such foolishness? That God is a man and he's having all these babies and they need children to inhabit. And if you're a good Mormon, you get your own planet. And if your wife is a good Mormon wife, she gets to help you populate the planet. And Satan and Jesus were brothers. There's fairy tales that some adulterous womanizer came up with. And people follow it. Or even the Jehovah's Witnesses are coming to our door all the time and trying to tell us, yes, we believe in Jesus Christ, but no, we don't believe He's God. Well, if you deny the Son, you're definitely not saved, the Bible says. If you deny the person of Jesus Christ, it says, if you do not believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Only the unsaved would say Jesus isn't God. But anyway, many shall follow. Many shall follow. Now, we're going to talk later about how to avoid these things, but let's move on. Number two, or verse two, they're pernicious ways. That word pernicious means destructive. It means harmful. And so if their teachings are hurting the body of Christ, then it's wrong. It's from the devil. Would the Holy Spirit ever intentionally hurt God's flock? No. But if what they're teaching or what they're saying is hurting God's flock, it's pernicious. It's destructive. And it's definitely not from God. God said that in the last days they would be boasters, proud, false accusers. They'd be high-minded. Like I said earlier, how much pride does it take? And that's where it all began with the devil, right? Pride. I shall be like the Most High. I will have His throne. How much pride does it take to actually believe that you're right and everyone you know is wrong? That's a lot of pride, isn't it? But there are Christians like that. I believe such and such, and everybody else is wrong. Well, you need to go look in the mirror. Because I think the one that's wrong is the one that's saying they're right. But moving on, verse 2. The way of the truth will be evil spoken of. If a false teacher comes along and starts speaking evil about anyone, then it's not from God. Amen? Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 2. And we'll talk more about this when we get to this in our Sunday school series about being offended and lashing out and so forth. But Titus 3:2, this is an important verse for Christians. What does it say? To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, that means contentious, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. It is a sin to speak evil of a fellow believer in any way, shape, or form. It is a sin even to speak evil of an unsaved person, according to the book from our Almighty God. Amen? So, if that's how they promote their false teachings, is by talking evil about others, they're wrong. They're wrong. The devil is leading them, not God. Because God doesn't do this. The Holy Spirit does not lead Christians to speak evil of anyone, saved or unsaved. Verse 3, and through covetousness. Of course, the Bible says covetousness is idolatry. This is 2 Peter 2:3. Through covetousness, they with feigned words That's false. The word feign means false. The Bible says they would speak lies and hypocrisy. If you look at Romans 16, 18, God tells us, He says, "For they are such that serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Remember how we were taught there was going to cross us the good guy? Good words and fair speeches. They'll what? Deceive. And who do they go after? The simple. People that are not well grounded in the Word of God. God says, this is going to happen. There shall be. Not there might be. There shall be false teachers. And verse 3, they will make merchandise of you. 2 Peter 2:3. In other words, they're going to profit from their followers. Not necessarily. Don't think that it's only about money or material goods. But if they can get disciples, they're profiting. Spiritually. Little s. Not wholly spiritually. And whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not. In other words, they will be judged. So, what does the Bible teach about how to avoid this problem? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look quickly, if we could, at Ephesians 4:14. God is giving us a command here. And what does He say? That we henceforth be no more children. What is He saying there? He's not talking about physically a child or an adult. He's talking about as a Christian, God is commanding us to grow up. Amen? To stop being a child in our understanding of Scripture and to grow up. Because what happens? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's a command that we grow up. Look at Hebrews 5:13. Which means we need to be in the Word. We need to be in church. We need to keep growing in our faith. And in our understanding of Scripture so that when these false teachers come along with their fair speeches and their big smile and say, let me tell you something new. Let me tell you something you didn't know. And you're wrong. You can say, hold on. I don't want to hear it. Hebrews 5:13. Look what it says. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see that phrase, full age? God's will that we grow up and become a full age in our understanding of Scripture so that the false teachers don't lead us astray. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. Again, we're talking here about how the Bible gives us preventative medicine for the false teachers. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If you continue in the faith, look at this next word, Colossians 1:23, grounded and settled. Amen? Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, grounded and settled. While you're in Colossians, look at chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. These are commands for Christians, that we be rooted, that we be grounded, that we be established. Colossians 2, 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, and so forth. You think God warns us enough? That this is going to happen, that we need to be prepared and we need to be grounded in the Word of God. There's just too many naive Christians out there when it comes to new stuff that comes along. There's nothing new. And if they're telling you that you're wrong and everybody else is wrong and they're right, you have your answer. You already know they're a false teacher. And yet God said it would happen. God said he's going to use it to prove us. He's going to use it to reveal who the true believers are. And he's also going to use it, in as we read earlier, to give us an opportunity to contend for the faith. But also, it's one of his ways of keeping the church strong. Think about it. If it's never tested, how does it get stronger? How do we get stronger when we're a runner? How do we become better? We got to keep running, right? We got to keep testing those muscles. We got to keep pushing them a little bit more, a little bit more. Well, God's going to keep testing us. But the more he tests us, the more refined we become, as individuals, even as a church. And so we must know what we believe, why we believe it. That's one of the reasons why when we get together for church, we keep this busy. Amen. I know some of you use your phones, and that's okay. But we don't just hear one verse and close it and say, well, I don't need that anymore. Because if that's the case, well, now you're just getting a bunch of philosophy from man rather than this book. Because this is where the power is. This is what changes our lives. This is how we grow. This is how we get grounded. And so if your fingers aren't kept busy, then there's a problem. But we need to be grounded. Because God warned us. He said, there shall. And he tests us in many ways, of course. Sometimes he brings trials into our lives. Sometimes he takes things away to see how we respond. Look at Job. Sometimes he raises up false teachers to test us, to grow us, to refine us. So be on the lookout and be wary when someone comes along. They're always going to smile. They're always going to be nice. Don't think they're going to have horns on, because they're not. They're not going to be dressed in a red suit. They're going to be your bestie. I don't mean literally, but they're going to act like it. And then they're going to tell you something new. That's when you need to say, hold on. That's not what the Bible says. Amen? This has to be our authority. There shall be false teachers. Now, I didn't preach to you this morning, but if you're in our service today and you are not born again, Jesus said you must be born again. There's nothing simpler than that. The gospel of Jesus Christ is so easy to understand that Jesus said himself, unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Which means children can understand the gospel. So if you're not born again, you need to be born again. All you need to do is come forward to an invitation and say, I'm not saved yet, but I do believe God is real. I do believe Jesus died for me, and I want to be saved. And we'll have someone take the word of God and show you verse by verse the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you can be saved today. Those of us that are Christians, maybe we've been led astray in some areas. Maybe we've spent too much time on YouTube with false teachers. I don't know, but we need to be beware. Amen? Because God said it's going to happen, and we've got to be on the lookout. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for warning us, but also, Lord, giving us the preventative medicine for being led astray, and that's to just be in this book, to be reading it, to studying it, meditating in it, being in church faithfully. Everything that we can, Lord, that the Word of God may build us up in our faith and ground us. So we'll be prepared for when that next false teacher comes along. Thank you so much for speaking to us and having your will in our hearts today. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.